You're listening to the Heroes Podcast Network.
Hello, all you lovely Star Wars fans. We're back with another episode of the Echo Station Podcast, back from a long hiatus. I'm here with my beautiful co-host, Ian.
Hello.
Say hi, Ian.
I don't look so beautiful right now because I'm stressfully packing away my life, so my face is totally broken out right now.
Well, it's a good thing you have a face for radio.
Yeah. My parents tell me that, too.
So we've got a pretty big show planned today. Tons of Star Wars news in the last few weeks. Some pretty exciting, fun stuff.
News has dropped.
Yeah, lots of news has dropped. We've got a fun... Today I learned in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
And a pretty cool main topic to discuss.
Yes. Our main topic today is we are discussing our top John Williams Star Wars themes. So that's every single piece of music he has written in episodes 1 through 8. And we have narrowed it down to, did you do 6 or 7?
I did 6.
Okay, I did 7 because I'm extra.
I know, because you're terrible.
And I have an honorable mention as well, so really 8.
So 8.
But we did agree upon that we would not include the Star Wars main theme, because
yes,
that's, of course, everyone's number one pick.
That's a given.
So we excluded that one. We all know it's, you know, it is the quintessential Star Wars. So we did not include that, but others we did through, like I said, 1 through 8. We're going to see if we have some of the same ones, maybe they're in the same order, maybe they're in different places, so it's going to be interesting to see how our lists line up.
Yeah, I have a feeling that we have maybe 2 crossovers.
I say at least 2 or 3, yeah.
Yeah.
But just kick things off, do you want to talk about the beautiful things that Mattel just revealed?
Oh my god, so if you follow the fandom doll collecting universe, and if you do, I'm so sorry, because we're terrible people. Mattel has just released 3 absolutely stunning Star Wars Barbie dolls, and there is a Darth Vader, a R2-D2, and a Princess Leia.
They are so freaking cute.
Yeah. So the Princess Leia one is kind of the most classic of the set, I would say.
It looks
very much like, almost like ball gown Leia, kind of like couture Leia. She's got these beautiful braids in her hair. Her hair is actually very reminiscent of a Padme look, in my opinion.
I think the boots are the best thing on that doll.
The boots are incredible. They're
her
like
gladiator
these,
Wonder Woman.
Yeah,
boots.
Gladiator patent leather, white awesomeness.
Gorgeous.
They're beautiful. And then the R2 is this adorable, like,
it's like 80s retro punk rock looking thing.
Yeah, it's like half disco, half punk rock. It's super cute. Each doll has its own little clutch, and the R2's clutch is actually C-3PO.
Yeah, it's his chest piece.
Yes, it's very cute.
It's really cute. And Leia's is the rebellion symbol.
Yeah, she's got these cute little wedges on. The skirt is half transparent, and it is super adorable.
It is.
And she's got blue hair. I love it. And then finally, save the best for last, is the Darth Vader. And the Darth Vader is absolutely incredible. She's stunning. She's got this patent leather bustier on that's made to look like...
S&M gear?
Yeah, it's almost like S&M gear, and it's got this sort of fit and flare thing.
Yeah.
And this really cool dual fabric... tight A-line skirt, and these fantastic knee-high boots, and her clutch is that center piece on, chest piece on Vader's outfit.
I live for that clutch.
It's so adorable, and I need this clutch in reality.
Yes,
I need this whole outfit.
You need to cosplay it for...
I know. It's great.
Celebration.
She's got a choker, she's got this really cute black bob, and she wears sunglasses. This doll is literally me.
And a big flowy cape.
Yes, it's everything.
This it's very much everything. Chris. I'm like, oh, this looks like Chris. And I sent it to her and she goes, that's me!
They stole my face.
They did. They stole it, but they stole it in the best way possible.
Yes, and you know, if I had a random $100 laying around, this doll would now be on my shelf.
Right. So go check out so those. We retweeted them on our Twitter, so go to Echo Station Cast. Go and look at them, and you'll see a bunch of other news things that we recently retweeted. I can't talk today.
There's been quite a bit.
Yes. So leading into that, D23 is coming up very, very soon. It's around the corner. It's the end of August. And they are showing a preview of Rise of Skywalker there.
It's going to be exciting.
They haven't said what they're showing, if it's a new trailer, if it's some clips, what's happening. But speaking of trailers, there is a strong possibility that after D23 we will get a new Rise of Skywalker trailer, along with possibly a Mandalorian trailer, because in November, Disney Plus streaming service launches.
I would guarantee that it's going to be those two.
Yeah, and it's coming up very soon in November, so we will see some kind of trailer soon for either one of those properties or both properties. I cannot wait, because along with the D23 Star Wars stuff, something else huge has been rumored and is being rumored on the internet and keeps on getting traction, so it's making people think that, yeah, this could possibly be real.
Let me just say how bummed I am to not be at D23 this year, considering it's back in Anaheim. Ugh. And I love it when it's actually in Anaheim and not Japan, or wherever it seems to travel to.
It's a traveling con. It's a nice...
It is a traveling con. But I like it when it's in Anaheim. It feels like it's home when it's in Anaheim. It started in Anaheim. I actually went to the very first D23, and it was an experience. It was pretty awesome.
I think that for now on, it's going to be in D20, or is it going to be in Anaheim, so...
I thought that they were going to flip it with a Florida location. I thought that's what I read.
It makes more sense to have it in Anaheim, but that's just me.
Yeah.
But so the big, huge, 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 huge news is that there is a strong possibility that we are getting a Kenobi series starring Ewan McGregor.
Yes!
Hold for applause.
And this seems much stronger than the previous zillion ones that we've had rumored in the past. This is an actuality.
This one for some reason seems to really be going like, you know, yeah, this may be a strong thing. Obviously, if that is happening, it will be announced at D23 officially.
Yeah.
So that being said, we kind of both agree that, you know, with the sad underperformance of Solo, even though it was a great movie,
Terrible marketing.
Yes, I think they were going to do a Kenobi spinoff movie. But they realized with the slow performance and the not so great reception of Solo, like, well, we're going to scrap that for now, but I think they're going to go with, yeah, let's just turn it into a series instead.
It surprises me, though, considering what a box office draw Ewan McGregor is, that they wouldn't take that route. But, I mean, I'm all for a full series.
Oh, I am too. Like, it needs to happen. Would you want it to be between three and four, or would you want it to be between, like, two and three? Because personally, I would like to see it between three and four.
Yeah, just because you get
19 years of stuff to do.
Yeah.
And not plus, only that, he's
the right age right now, I feel.
Yes.
For
I
that.
Say that too.
Yeah.
You can't, I mean, he looks the same basically that what he did in episode 3 and 2, because he doesn't seem to age. But, you know, I can, you know, see that episode of, you know, for example, him protecting Luke from Tusken Raiders like they did in the comics or whatever it may be.
I feel like there's a dearth of knowledge about the Clone Wars. I don't feel like we're lacking in Obi-Wan Clone Wars era information and storylines. So, but there is that large hole when it comes to what happened before A New Hope.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff to cover there, and a lot of gaps to be filled.
Yeah.
So we cannot wait. Like I said, hopefully, as soon as it's announced to be real, we will be tweeting about that nonstop. So sorry. But I just can't wait, because that's going to be a really good series. He was one of the really good parts of the prequels.
Yeah.
And a lot of people do agree, like, even if they hate the prequels, they will say that his performance was the better of the prequels.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even the dumbest dialogue, he just sold it.
Exactly.
So this has been pretty much my desire for any kind of sequel that focused on one person. This is the one that I've wanted. I didn't need Solo. I really enjoyed Solo, but I didn't need more of Han Solo's story. I like Boba Fett, but I really don't need it. You know,
no, Obi-Wan. And to be fair, you know, Obi-Wan is a main character, and he hasn't gotten his own kind of, you know, due, really.
Yeah.
You know, he hasn't gotten as much love, I don't think, as some of the other characters have, and so this is going to really bring him to the forefront. But yeah, so we are, like I said, it's a high rumor right now, but it is still very much a rumor.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an official announcement out of D23. I really do. I think they're waiting for that.
It would be smart, and then I assume they would probably launch it sometime next year. I doubt it's going to be nothing's going to be ready for this year for it, but next year for sure.
Sure.
Because next year they're also launching the casting series, so I assume we would launch a lot with that, too. So, one more bit of news before we head on to our what we learned in the Star Wars universe is that John Williams' brother, who is helping him with the score for Episode 9, has said recently in an interview that every single major Star Wars theme from all 8 movies is going to be in this film one way or another.
Interesting.
So he mentioned the Duel of Fates.
I was just thinking, like, that's gonna play in an interesting way.
He said that they may not be full progressions, there'll be like little notes here and there.
Sure, just sort of hints.
Yes, so he said callbacks. Leia's theme, Yoda's theme, the Duel of Fates, the Imperial March, like the droid march.
Very cool.
You know, all these huge major themes he's going to be compiling into one movie also kind of gave us a possible runtime of the movie as well. Because he said that...
3 hours!
Yeah, well, I wish. he stated that he has a certain number done right now. I think they said they have, I think, like 35 minutes in the can so far. And the rest needs to be recorded. And someone asked, you know, oh, how much does he have to record? And so people put the numbers together. They surmise the movie to be at least 2 hours and 15 minutes. Because they said that it's basically wall-to-wall music.
I wish we could get extended editions, like, you know, Lord of the Rings. The extended Star Wars editions.
They tried different editions, but they didn't really work well with 4, 5, and 6.
Well, I don't mean with the random alternate scenes, those crappy, weird CGI inputs. I mean, like... actual extended editions.
Like, actual scenes that were shot that did not make it into a movie. Okay, gotcha. So, 2 hours and 15 minutes, between probably 2 hours and 15 and 2 hours and 30, I would say, would be for episode 9's running time.
That makes sense.
Episode 8 was, I think, what, 2 hours and 40 minutes?
Jeez, was it that long?
It was the longest one. I think it was like 2 hours and 40 minutes, 2 hours and 45, something like that. It wasn't 3 hours, I know that. But no. It was... way past the 2 hour mark. But it makes sense.
We're gonna start needing like some Gone with the Wind style intermissions so you can go to have a pee break and buy more popcorn.
I mean,
seriously, all the movies are getting so long again. Why don't we have intermissions built in?
Because I want the action like to happen. I don't want to wait.
But I like to go pee.
Well,
and not miss.
That's when you get a large drink and you just refill it yourself.
Oh, God, that's disgusting.
But you just don't drink it.
Oh, you're horrible. Please tell me you've never done that, and I'm never going to the movies with you again.
I have not, but I heard people did that for Endgame, so...
Oh, that's awful.
Yep.
Just look up the pee break the thing.
Yeah, on the internet. That's what they're there for. So that about wraps up our news. It's a good little news segment to go into our main topic, obviously. Cool. What we learned in the Star Wars universe, it is a character, I don't believe we discussed her on the what we learned yet. If we have, I apologize. But we're talking about Ula.
Ula!
We're talking about the green Twi'lek slave dancer at Jabba's palace who gets eaten by the Rancor and makes room to have Leia sit up there for all your masturbatory fantasies. Yeah. So, really get to thank her for dying to have Leia in that bikini. You're welcome. But so, Ula, a little backstory. She was the green Twi'lek. She was Jabba's, like, prized slave before Leia, obviously, you know, came to the picture. She was born to a chieftain on Ryloth.
Oh, so she's, like, a princess, too.
Yeah. Well, not a princess. I guess high royalty?
Well, like, in the way that Pocahontas is a princess.
Yeah. She just happened to get sold into slavery, which kind of sucks.
Shit happens, man.
Yes. So she comes from Ryloth, and, long story short, she gets tricked into, you know, saying, oh, you can come dance for this, lovely man named Jabba. She didn't know who Jabba was. And she gets tricked by Bib Fortuna, and it does get sold into slavery. And, let me see here. Da-da-da-da. She took her chance on Tatooine. Obviously, her chances were not that good.
Yeah, not a place you want to get lost.
No, her life was a short one, because Jabba fed her to the Rancor. Fun fact, the actress who played her, Femi Taylor, in the original one, came back 14 years later, fit into the same costume, and did additional scenes for the special edition.
That's awesome.
So, you know, 14 years later, and you can still fit in the same costume, which is just netting and, like, leather bands. That's impressive. Also, a fun little tidbit. There was a storyboard drawn out by the director that actually depicted Ula escaping.
Aww.
But it was cut because of budget reasons. So the character's role was considerably reduced, and her fate was sealed with the death.
That's so sad.
I know. Like, she could have escaped and frolicked.
I always wanted her to live. She didn't deserve to die.
No. So that's what I learned in the Star Wars universe.
Yay, Ula.
Yeah.
Ooh la la.
Okay, so let's talk about our big topic, shall we?
Dun, 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 dun.
John Williams is a musical genius, and it was so hard to narrow down themes from all 8 movies. Like, maybe one movie I could, do. 2, sure. But 8? That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot, people. So it was very tricky. I don't know if it was tricky for you or not.
You know, when you suggested the topic to me, I had probably, like, 3 or 4 instant knowledge of what I was gonna pick.
Nice.
And then it took just maybe, like, 5 more minutes of thought.
Well, and for those who don't know, John Williams has, you know, scored a bunch of George Lucas's films and Spielberg's films as well.
Yeah, I mean, he's
being E.T., composer Indiana royalty. Jones, Close Encounters, Jaws. I mean, it's a good amount has, for just cinema in general, not just Star Wars and, like, Spielberg stuff, has been composed by John Williams.
His sounds are pretty much iconic to Hollywood.
Yeah, like, if you, once you hear something, you're like, oh, that's a John Williams score.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. So, like I said, trying to find certain themes was hard, but Do you want to pick your number six pick, or do you want me to go first? Since I have more.
Actually, let me start with, I was going to ask you if you've been to a John Williams concert.
I've been to the Star Wars in concert back in like the early two or like late 2010s or whenever it was.
Yes.
It was at the Sprint Center. John Williams obviously was not there, but they were conducting his music. I've not seen John Williams live before. No.
I went to that STEAM concert series, but it was one that he was actually conducting.
Well, fuck you.
Well, this was the benefit to living in LA.
That's also, that he was around. Okay, well, that makes sense.
Yeah. This was at the Bowl, which is this just gorgeous outdoor.
The Bowl, it's like the amphitheater style kind of, right?
Yeah, it's an amphitheater. I went in, I want to say like 2009, maybe. I can't remember. I don't know.
So that how was it? You gotta tell me.
It was amazing. It was like it was the Star Wars performance, and they had this giant screen up in the background, so they would play clips while they played the music. Every nerd and his mother was there, and everybody had a lightsaber, so people would light up their lightsabers, and you know, like they were holding up their lighters, except they were lightsabers. It was awesome.
So, like, did you get, like, a standing ovation or what?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was just an incredible night. Incredible. And I went with a friend who is a huge Star Wars fan, so. It was probably one of the Star Wars fandom highlights of my life, definitely. And even if you obviously can't see him on stage, just going to the performances are incredible experiences.
Hearing I've heard good things about it.
Oh, yeah.
And he sometimes will do, like, just, like, surprise kind of pop-up concerts.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously right now he's busy writing episode 9.
Hey, Lil Busy. He's also kind of getting really old.
He is. And he did say that episode 9, we discussed before, is going to be his final Star Wars film. So,
yeah.
It's fitting. It makes sense.
Big shoes to fill, people. Big shoes to fill.
Yes, and I'm going to ask you, after all this, who you think should score some future Star Wars movies, so get that in mind.
Oh, Lord. I don't know the composer super well, so.
If you name the movie, I can probably name the composer for you.
Okay.
I'll
probably accidentally just name a John Williams movie without even realizing.
Like, well, no, he can't do that anymore.
No. Well, since you've got more...
Yeah,
why don't you start with... So let's start with our bottoms first. Let's work our way to the top.
All right, so my number 7 pick is the Trench Run from episode 4.
Ooh, good one.
It's, you know, the big kind of finale piece to the very first Star Wars movie I ever saw. It's fast-paced. It's, you know, the horns and the strings are... you know, perfectly entwined with the ships passing through and lasers and the explosion at the Death Star and the kind of tense, you know, is Luke going to hit the exhaust port? I don't know. But I love that one. Yeah. It's a good one.
It's very exciting.
I agree. And it's one of those where you're like, ooh, this is some good music.
Oh, and I just wanted to interject real fast. Obviously, we will not be playing clips of these. We would love to be playing clips of these, but we're not paying for copyright for Star Wars music.
Yeah, so
and we don't want Disney to sue us. So.
Yeah, and if you're a Star Wars fan, you either know these things or you can go into Google and just follow YouTube along with us. So
yeah, just pop it on YouTube.
Exactly.
They're worth re-listening to anyway.
Yeah. So yeah, that is my number 7 pick.
Okay, oh, very cool. My number 7 is a little less... dramatic. It's the Cantina Band theme.
I was debating on putting that one on there or not.
Because I love my jizz.
Yeah.
you know it had to be on my list. It's just, it is such an iconic, happy little ditty. And I love hearing it. It's been my phone ringtone several times.
It's great.
It's just so adorable. And it makes you happy. It makes you want to, you know, it makes you want to do. It makes you want to dance around.
I still laugh at the whole Family Guy episode where, you know, we're taking requests. Play that same song.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
It's great. I love that one too. You know, because you don't really know, you know, kind of club music in Star Wars, but damn it, John Williams sure as shit did it.
There it is.
Yep.
That's it.
And
of course, it is the inspiration behind our theme music for our podcast.
It is, yes, by the Flying Killer Robots, nonetheless. So don't forget to check them out. So my number six pick is a newer theme, and that's Ray's theme.
Very nice.
So it's a beautiful, beautiful theme. John Williams writes beautiful themes, but he also writes really, really beautiful themes for the female characters in these movies.
Yes, very touching.
And I absolutely love this theme. It's, you know, it's, you hear the chimes of the xylophone, I think it is. So it's very, like, adventurous, too, and soft. It also works well. It plays throughout episode 7 and 8 during duels as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be, you know, very hardcore themed as well in that situation. I hope we get to hear it in that context in episode 9 as well.
It's flexible. Like yes. Ray!
Yeah, exactly. But I instantly fell in love with it when I heard it, so...
Yeah, I did consider that one. It's really pretty.
Yes.
Alright, my next pick is Yoda's theme.
Ooh, okay.
I love Yoda's theme. It's very sort of whimsical and mysterious and magical. And
it's very thought-provoking.
It is very thought-provoking. It, you know, it fits this pretty much ancient being who is host to so much knowledge.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of something that would almost fit in, like, an 80s fantasy movie.
I can see that.
Yeah. So, Yoda's theme. Yeah.
You could see it in a Jim Henson movie, which, funny enough, you know, the Jim Henson Company helped
exactly.
create Yoda.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah. So, Yoda's theme. Yeah. Like, I could see it in the Dark Crystal being something
yes.
like that. Yeah.
Which, side note, Dark Crystal comes out at the end of this month on Netflix.
Age of Resistance.
Also, Mark Hamill's voicing someone on that, so...
Yay!
Just a little slight plug on that one. So my number five is a theme from the prequels, and that is the Order 66 theme.
Ooh, spooky.
A.K.A. it's called Anakin's Betrayal, I believe, on the soundtrack.
A.K.A. Anakin slaughters the younglings.
Yes. It's one of those themes where you don't hear a whole lot of background noise. The music really does take center in that scene.
Mm-hmm.
You hear, you know, some of the blaster fire and everything when the Jedi are dying, but really it's the music that swells up and you hear it. And I remember being however old I was when that movie came out, sitting in the theater and hearing that theme, and just, like, tears started coming to my eyes, because you see that against the cinematography of all these Jedi, you know, just being gunned down by these soldiers that they trusted and that they put their lives, you know, in their hands of. So.
Yeah, it's pretty heartbreaking.
Yeah, seeing that footage mixed with that beautiful, like, haunting theme really was like, oh. And, because Revenge of the Sith, I think, had some of the darkest music.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's darkest, so it's one of the darkest movies.
So it fit to have some of the darker music, and I actually liked a lot of the darker music. But that theme for me is still in the highlights of that movie.
Cool. All right. Well, this would be my number four pick since I only did six. and this kind of grooves with your last pick, and it's the Duel of the Fates.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah. Another pretty dark, ominous, iconic piece of music. It does have a lot of that swelling emotion, and the music itself feels like a sword fight.
Oh, for sure.
It's a very emotional piece of music. It pushes you to the edge of your seat. It really helps build the moment. It's it's just perfect. It's a perfect piece of music.
It does. And John Williams in the original four didn't really use a whole lot of choirs and stuff. Yeah. But he went full out choir with this one, and
it fits so well.
It does. And it's reused in episode 3 as well, and episode 2. It's used in all three of them. In episode 2, when Anakin goes off and tries to find his mom. And episode 3, mm-hmm. when Yoda and Palpatine are dueling in the Senate chamber.
Yep.
So it's used very well throughout all three movies, and hopefully in episode 9 as well.
It's also fun car driving music. Every once in a while, especially if I'm driving for a while, I'll throw on some soundtracks. There was a guy I used to date, and that was pretty much like his go-to driving music, was picking random soundtracks.
I'm very okay with that.
Yeah, like Lord of the Rings, The Dark Knight Rises.
Going on a road trip to Omaha for Labor Day weekend with my boyfriend. So I'm making him listen to soundtracks. I don't care what he says.
Yeah, do it.
It's going to be Lord of the Rings. It's going to be, dun, 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 dun. It's going to be that. And the Ring Wraiths are just going to be, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, no, it's good. Duel of the Fates is kind of the same. Like, it really gets you pumped for driving.
It does. And he's going to be like, what the hell is wrong with you?
What are we doing? Why are we doing this?
We're doing this because it's going to make me calm for 3 hours.
Can't you be a normal person and listen to Willie Nelson on your road trips?
Yeah. Oh, ugh.
Oh, don't you, ugh, Willie Nelson. Willie Nelson is just a awesome man. Awesome.
Yeah, anyway. My number four pick is another prequel, but it's the Across the Stars, a.k.a. Aww. Padme and Anakin's love theme.
Yes.
It's beautiful. It's I don't, again, like very much with Rey's theme and, you know, Leia's theme and Padme's theme in episode 1, it's soft, it, you know, goes a little darker at some points, it's loud, it's, it swells at the right moments, you know,
it's
throughout,
a love theme.
Well, throughout episode 2, it's played, you know, especially like during the Battle of Geonosis, when she gets shot out of the gunship, it's played. Obviously during the wedding, it's played.
Mm-hmm.
But I love it. It's gorgeous. I want more of it.
All right. Let's see. My number, I guess this would be my number 3 pick.
And save your number 1 pick.
Okay.
Or if you want to, you can add another song real quick.
Oh, I'll have to think about one. So my number 3 is, it goes by 2 names. It's Ooh. Binary Sunset or The Force Theme.
We have one on the same list now.
Yeah. Okay, so this was almost my top theme, but it got beat out by another one. That is my, well, we'll get to that. I love this theme. It is so emotional. The first time we hear it is when you see Luke come out of their little shack.
The homestead?
They're on the homestead, thank you. I could not remember the name.
The shack on Tatooine.
The shack on, the sand shack on Tatooine.
Oh my, I'm calling it that from now on. I want every single Lego set now to be rebranded as Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru's Sand Shack.
Sand Shack.
Please.
The sand igloo.
Yes. Oh my god, I love that.
Yeah. Okay, so he's standing out of the air, you know, and he's looking off into the distance at the setting binary stars.
He's brooding.
He's brooding, he's thinking about his life, and it's just this incredibly emotional feeling music. And it almost brings you to tears every time I hear it. And it's called back so many times with Luke.
It does.
And it's this the music, that music to me is what the Force sounds like.
Mm-hmm. And really anyone who, you know, used the Force or whatever, it has that theme around them at one point or the other.
Yeah, it's called back super frequently, and it's very calming, and I love it. I really do love the Force theme, or Binary Sunset, whichever one you want to call it. I like calling it Binary Sunset because I immediately think about that scene.
Yes.
That very first scene.
And speaking of Binary Sunset, the last time we do hear it is when Luke passes away in episode 8.
Yes.
It calls back to that because he's watching two suns set and he passes away. did you cry during that moment?
Oh my god, I cried so much.
Yeah.
I cry for everything, so, you know, it's not huge, but yeah, oh, I cried.
It was one of those, I'm like, oh, okay, that's a nice callback thing.
Yep.
So, my number three has been in several movies, and it's the sound, it's called Here They Come.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, the... Yeah. So it's the soundtrack that plays right after they escape the Death Star in the very first one, and the TIE fighters are following them, and
makes you want to fly a ship.
Yeah, and you know, you great kid, don't get cocky.
Yeah.
So I love that one. It's called back to In Solo, which was a great callback. I love that. And it's also called back in Episode 8, and I kind of had a mini freak out when Chewie dove into the cavern and you hear that music play, and I was like, oh my god, yes!
Yes!
I love that one. I think it's great. It's very fast-paced. And like I said, the it's been called back before in Solo in Episode 8.
Oh yeah, it gets called back a lot.
And I believe it's also played in Episode 6 during the Death Star run and on Endor and everything, so I love that one. It's great.
It also gets played on the Star Tours ride.
Oh, does it?
If you've ever been on it, yeah.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, it's really fun. And anyway, because you're in the moment and you're getting thrown around like you're on a
little space shuttle.
It feels great. It's such a perfect theme to have in that. Yeah. All right, so that was your number three.
Yes.
This would be my number two.
Okay.
And it is the Imperial March.
Okay.
Because, you know, that's almost as iconic as the actual theme.
I agree.
And because I was with the 501st, it's just, you know, it's like, I don't know. When you think about Star Wars music, you think about the Imperial March.
Makes sense.
It's also been my ringtone several times. I always have interesting ringtones, but I never have my sound on. I never have the sound on my phone on. So I don't even know what my ringtone is right now.
Oh, I don't either. Mine's always on vibrate.
Yeah. No, I can't stand having sound on my phone. So who knows what it is? It's probably one of those. It's either that or Indiana Jones. It's usually Indiana Jones, too.
Mine at one point was the Thundercats theme.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I love it. So, my number two theme is also the Imperial March.
Ta-da!
Love it. Love it. Love
Ooh,
it, love
I'm
it.
Really curious about your first one.
I am too, because okay, let me just ask this. Is your first one, is the character theme?
Yes.
Okay.
Did we pick the same one? I bet we picked the same one.
I don't think we did.
Oh, we didn't? Mm-hmm.
I bet you top dollar right now, I don't think we did.
Dollars to donuts.
Dollars to donuts, we did not. my number two one, like I said, is the Imperial March. Basically the same reasoning as you did. It's very dark, very ominous. Even if you don't know Star Wars, you hear that theme, you're like, oh, that's from a Star Wars movie. Don't maybe really know what happened, but that's from a Star Wars.
You're like, those are bad people. That's a bad people theme. These are not the good guys.
No, they are not. So it's great. It's dark. It plays, like I said, throughout 4, 5, and 6. Episode 2 and 3 get it a lot. And then episode 7 gets it a little bit as well. Mm-hmm. I think it's great. I think that hopefully we'll be hearing a lot of it in episode 9. I have a feeling we will.
Yeah. With the hints that we've gotten so far, I would assume.
I would assume so. But yeah, that's my number two. So, should I do my honorable mention and then have you do number one or what?
I don't know. Maybe let me do my number one and then your honorable mention.
Okay, because I lied. I have two honorable mentions, so.
You have two honorable? You can't do that.
Look, I just added another one, like, literally 2 seconds ago, because I'm like, oh, right.
That's cheating. Okay. All right, my number one. My number one most favorite Star Wars theme. The thing that comes to mind pretty much immediately whenever I think of Star Wars, and I know that's a little odd, but it's Princess Leia's theme.
Yep, knew it.
Yep. When I was a kid, we had a piano, and I used to pick out, I'm able to hear things and then play it on instruments usually.
I can't remember
what that's called right now. And that was one of the first. Power? Yes, I have a mutant power for music. And that was one of the first songs that I learned to pick out on the piano was Leia's theme. And I even made up stupid lyrics to it, which I will not share.
Oh, now I want to know what those are.
No, they're like, imagine what a 6-year-old would pick out for that. It's terrible.
For all of our listeners out there, tweet us, and if we get enough tweets, Chris will release those lyrics.
Oh dear God, no.
Yep. Already on it. So I kind of had a feeling that was going to be your number one, because I remember you saying,
yeah,
when we watched the episode 9 trailer, when you heard Leia's theme, you're like, it's my favorite theme.
Yes. Oh, I love it. I cry every time I hear it now. I cried before when I would hear it. It's so winsome. There's so much longing in it. It is such a beautiful theme. I love how it intertwines with her time with Han. It, you know, so it kind of almost has a love theme to it as well. It's so beautiful. It's such a stunning piece of music. So it'll always be my number one.
It's a very good piece, and it's very, you know, very much a Leia theme, and it plays throughout action scenes, and it's like, it's very usable, like Rey's theme. It plays with action scenes.
Yes,
plays
it's very versatile.
Yes. It's versatile.
And it's very much Leia.
Okay, so for my honorable mentions, plural, I have also the Binary Sunset.
Yay!
AKA the Force theme. And then I also have the theme that plays during Qui-Gon's funeral.
Oh, that's a good one.
Qui-Gon's funeral and Padme's funeral and Darth Vader's rise. I love that theme so much. Because it's one of those where you're like, oh, this is some, like, someone died. Someone's dead, and we're burning their body in an open flame, which must smell horrible, by the way. But
no, I'm pretty sure it smells like a pork roast.
Dirty Jedi hippie pork roast.
Dirty Jedi hippie. Yeah, like a lot of hair smelling, probably.
Yeah, mm-mm, no.
Burning hair, yeah.
Just like when they burned all the bodies on Game of Thrones, I'm like, ooh, that's not gonna smell good.
No.
But I love that theme. I think it's great. It's very somber and very, like, you know, alright, some shit went down, people are dead. Yep, this happened.
Yes.
So my number one pick, alright, I want you to guess what it is.
Oh, goodness.
I'll tell you, it's not a character theme.
I don't know. Is it the... No, you already covered that. Is it the Death Star run?
We did that one.
Okay, we did... Yeah, okay, we did do that one. Yeah, we did the trench run.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So
I don't know.
It's an obscure piece of music that only plays during episode 2. And it is titled Zam the Assassin and the Chase Through Coruscant.
Oh, interesting.
So here's my logic behind this. So in Star Wars, in the previous 6 films, or the previous 3 films before episode 1 and 2, we didn't really get a proper, like, car chase scene,
yes, if you will. Yes, that's true.
We got, you know, speeder bikes, and we got, you know, a chase through the asteroid field and ship chases. But we never got, like, a speeder chase through a city or a town or whatever. And this was that piece of music. That's what this was for. And you really do feel like you are in the middle of, like, a high pursuit. The cops are chasing, you know, an assassin or a robber or whatever it is in the Star Wars universe. In this case, happens to be an assassin. It's a great use of drums. It's the first time we ever hear a guitar, an electric guitar, in the music. We haven't heard one ever since, you know, we didn't hear one until episode two.
Yeah, so it's very unique.
Yes, and the guitar mimics Zam's speeder sounds whenever she banks and turns. So if you listen to it and you listen to her speeder, you're like, oh, that kind of mimics that in a way. At least to me. I don't know, it could be for anyone else, but I love it. It's action, it's high pace, it's, you know, quick, quick, quick. It's mysterious at the very beginning when Django and Zam are meeting because you don't know who's who. So that's my number one pick. Yeah.
Yeah. I like it. Wow, I would have never guessed that in a million years.
No, and I was teetering between that and, like, three or four others. I'm like, it's this one. I always get really pumped whenever I hear it.
Very cool.
Because I may or may not, like, if I hear it in the car, I may or may not, like, speed up, like, 5 miles.
And be like, so maybe don't listen to it in the car.
You can't catch me, sir. What are you listening to?
Nothing.
Don't question me, copper.
Yeah, blame the music and see if you'll get away with it.
Sure. Yeah, I blame John Williams. I'm so sorry. So those are our top themes. But real quick, so we've also had two other composers in the Star Wars movies. One being John Powell, who did the solo score. And the other being Michael, I can't say his last name, to the life of me. oh, good lord. He did the Star Trek films, the newer ones, and the Jurassic World movies. He sounds very much like John Williams. But,
yeah,
just Google who that is, because I don't want to butcher his last name. I know his first name is Michael. And he's Italian, so that's why I'm not going to butcher it.
He's Italian.
So, we got two beautiful scores out of Solo and Rogue One. So, obviously, with John Williams, this being his last movie, who do you think could take over movie cinema scoring? Mind you, the composer who did Black Panther's music is doing the stuff for Mandalorian.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
The first name that comes to mind, and I'm going to preface with, I don't know a whole bunch of composers, like, really well offhand. But following in that kind of John Williams sort of esque feeling, it's Hans Zimmer.
I was just thinking him.
Yeah, with his work on the Nolan Batman trilogy, I think he really has that flavor.
He would be interesting to have someone do a Star Wars movie.
I think he'd get some really good dark themes.
He would be real, because he plays a lot with, like, the electronic kind of stuff, like electric violin and shit like that.
Yeah.
He composed the music for Dark Phoenix, which is the most recent X-Men film.
Mm-hmm.
And while people still don't like the movie, even though I loved it, they all said, like, we may not like the movie, but the music was great, and that's because it was Hans Zimmer. I love his work.
His work is beautiful.
He would be an interesting choice. My pick would actually be the same person who did the Rogue One soundtrack, because the callbacks, it very much made me feel like I was listening to a John Williams score.
Yeah, Rogue One was a fantastic soundtrack.
And they picked him for the Jurassic World because he sounded so much like John Williams. It made sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, he plays the same kind of horns. He can, you know, write that music. Although, John Powell, who did Solo, did a fantastic job scoring that movie, too. For example, I love Infant's Nest's theme. Her theme is really wicked and really cool and just really kind of punk rock. And he mixed in, like, the Chase the Asteroid field and the Here They Come music in there as well, which really made me happy. But either of those two, I would love to hear them come back to do a Star Wars movie or a trilogy of some kind. That piece
my
of news.
Other... Hmm? Oh, I have another pick.
Oh, who?
He's kind of busy. right now, I would think. I'm not even sure if they're calling him back for this, but I would assume they are. But he's got his weight behind epic trilogies, and that would be Howard Shore, who scored The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit trilogy as well.
What is he busy doing? But I do think,
I would think he would be doing the Amazon Lord of the Rings series.
Oh, I wonder if he is.
I don't know if he's connected to that, but I would assume, since he's done everything else.
It would be smart.
Yeah. But he definitely has that very classic sound, that very traditional symphonic scoring. He's good at those lovely themes, like Princess Leia's theme, like Arwen's theme. But he can also do really daring and exciting pieces of music. So I can see him fitting with the Star Wars universe really well.
I didn't even think about him. Interesting. Yeah, I can totally see that.
Yeah.
Cool. Another person that I just, out of the top of my head, two of them that kind of, they coincide, they both have done Marvel movies, is the composer for the Avengers films.
Oh, yeah.
Or the composer for the Bryan Singer-led X-Men films, which is John Ottman, I believe is how you say his name.
Mm-hmm.
He did all the Bryan Singer X-Men films, except for the very first X-Men film, because someone else did that one, but his scores are very, you know, action-packed, and they, you know, have beautiful themes to them as well, and stuff like that, so either of those two would be great. It's, like you said before, it's very much very, 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 very big shoes to fill, no matter what you do. There's news that just broke today that Rian Johnson's trilogy is still in works, supposedly.
Hmm.
So, it would be cool to see someone maybe take on that. We don't know if the Game of Thrones writers are still doing their Star Wars trilogy, because they just got signed on for a huge Netflix deal, so...
Yes, this is true.
So recently their Netflix show that they wanted to do, the Confederate one, just got canned. So I don't know if their Star Wars one is still canned, or still going, or if it's got canned as well.
I don't know. There's a lot of backlash against them right now, so it's interesting that they're such a hot commodity, considering how much the public does not want them to touch anything right now.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how they still dropped out of Comic-Con. Like, yeah, we're not going in there.
Yeah, we're not gonna show up.
Probably smart on their part.
Yeah.
But that's does it for this episode, guys. These were our top John Williams themes. I'm sure our list will change once episode 9 comes out. So we might do a redo of this list, like a little mini episode or something like that. But comment, tweet us at EchoStationCast. Let us know what your favorite themes are, if some of them matched up with ours, or if you have a complete different list, because we always like hearing that stuff from you guys. Like I said...
Yeah, I want to see some surprising choices, like yours.
Mine were kind of oddball themes for like two or three of them, so... Because I'm an oddball and quirky myself.
So quirky.
So like I said, tweet us at EchoStationCast, follow us, give us some love. You can find our podcast on the Heroes Podcast Network, that's heroespodcasts.com, with a slew of any other shows up there. There's Gamer Heroes, there's Star Trek, there's
Red Shirts and Runabouts.
It's all kinds of fun stuff on there. Something for each person. There's a Kaiju series now, so go check that out, and then you can find
us. I thought you said Caillou, and I was... very confused.
No,
like, Kaiju. Why would you do that?
Like Mothra and Godzilla.
Yes.
God. Follow us on Spreaker, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts.
Wherever you get your podcast from.
Yeah, basically wherever you find a podcast, you'll find us as well. Follow Chris on Twitter at where?
You can follow me on Twitter at The Dirt Witch, or on Instagram at Chris Jaded. That's Jaded with an ED at the end.
And then you can follow me at House of Turner Cosplay. It's HAUS on Instagram and on Twitter. Or on Twitter, it's IR Turner, and Facebook is House of Turner Cosplay as well. I'm busy kind of planning away some cosplays for next year. One of them is indeed a Star Wars one for Celebration.
I'm trying to get back into the swing of things, because I've been out of cosplay for a while.
Well,
but I got some interesting stuff planned.
I have a pair of pants you can make me.
I can make pants.
Okay, good.
You're the only person who I make pants for. Because I hate making pants.
Just all I need is pants, that's it. Everything else I'm fine with.
Okay.
But like I said, tweet us, love us, share us around, interact with us. We like talking to you guys and hearing suggestions. And until next time, may the force be with you guys.
May the force be with you.